Welcome to day 207 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading from the book of Isaiah, and we will cover chapters 40 through 43. We are reading this week from the Amplified Bible. So beginning at Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to the heart of Jerusalem, and cry to her that her time of service and her warfare are ended, that her punishment is accepted and her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received punishment from the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. A voice of one who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Clear away the obstacles. Make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted and filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked and uneven shall be made straight and level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory, majesty, and splendor of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. A voice says, cry, prophesy. And I said, what shall I cry? The voice answered, proclaim, all flesh is as frail as grass. And all that makes it attractive, its kindness, its goodwill, its mercy from God, its glory and comeliness, however good, is transitory, like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely all the people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. O you who bring good tidings to Zion, get up to the high mountain. O you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, marked off the heavens with a 9-inch span, and closed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, that instruction might be given him? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are counted as small dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the isles like a very little thing, and all Lebanon's forests cannot supply sufficient fuel, nor all its wild beasts furnish victims enough to burn sacrifices worthy of the Lord. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing, and emptiness, waste, futility, and worthlessness. To whom then will you liken God, or with what likeness will you compare him? The graven image, a workman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and casts silver chains for it. He who is so impoverished that he has no offering or oblation or rich gift to give to his God is constrained to make a wooden offering, an idol. So he chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to carve and set up an image that will not totter or deteriorate. You worshippers of idols, you are without excuse. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? These things ought to convince you of God's omnipotence and of the folly of bowing to idols. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle, the horizon of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is He who stretches out the heavens like gauze curtains and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings dignitaries to nothing, who makes the judges and rulers of the earth as chaos, emptiness, falsity, and futility. Yes, these men are scarcely planted. Scarcely are they sown. Scarcely does their stalk take root in the earth when the Lord blows upon them and they wither, and the whirlwind or tempest takes them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I should be equal to him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who has created these? He who brings out their host by number and calls them all by name, through the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing or lacks anything. Why, O Jacob, do you say and declare, O Israel, my way and my lot are hidden from the Lord, and my right is passed over without regard from my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Chapter 41. Listen in silence before me, O islands and regions bordering on the sea, and let the people gather and renew their strength for the argument. Let them offer their strongest arguments. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment and decide the point at issue between us and concerning the enemy advancing from the east. Who has roused up one Cyrus from the east, whom he calls in righteousness to his service, and whom victory meets at every step? He, the Lord, subdues nations before him and makes him ruler over kings. He turns them to dust with the sword of Cyrus and to driven straw and chaff with his bow. He, Cyrus, pursues them and passes safely and unhindered, even by a way his feet had not trod, and so swiftly that his feet do not touch the ground. Who has prepared and done this, calling forth and guiding the destinies of the generations of the nations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, existing before history began, and with the last, an ever-present, unchanging God, I am He. The islands and coastlands have seen and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They draw near and come. They help every one his neighbor and say to his brother in his tiresome idol-making, be of good courage. So the carpenter encourages the goldsmith, and he who smooths the metal with the hammer encourages him who smites the anvil, saying of the soldering, that is good, and he fastens it with nails so it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I, the Lord, have taken from the ends of the earth and have called you from the corners of it, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off, even though you are exiled. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you to be a new, sharp threshing instrument which has teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest or whirlwind shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord, you shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy are seeking water when there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the wild olive. I will set the cypress in the desert, the plane tree and the pine tree together, that men may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. You idols made by men's hands, prove your divinity. Produce your cause. Set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong proofs, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and tell us what is to happen. Let them tell us the former things, what they are, that we may consider them and know the outcome of them, or declare to us the things to come. Tell us the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, something or other, that we may stare in astonishment and be dismayed as we behold the miracle together. Behold, you idols are nothing, and your work is nothing. The worshiper who chooses you is an abomination, extremely disgusting and shamefully vile in God's sight. I have raised up and impelled to action one from the north, Cyrus, and he comes. From the rising of the sun, he calls upon my name, recognizing that his victories have been granted to him by me. And he shall tread upon rulers and deputies as upon mortar, and as the potter treads clay. He comes with the suddenness of a comet, but none of the idle oracles of the nations has anticipated it. What idol has declared this from the beginning that we could know, and before time that we could say that he is unquestionably right? Yes, there is none who declares it. Yes, there is none who proclaims it. Yes, for the truth is, O you dumb idols, there is none who hears you speak. I, the Lord, first gave to Zion the announcement, Behold, the Jews will be restored to their own land, and the man Cyrus shall be raised up who will deliver them. Behold them, and to Jerusalem I gave a herald, Isaiah, bringing the good news. For I look upon the heathen prophets and the priests of pagan practices, and there is no man among them who could predict these events. And among these idols, there's no counselor who, when I ask of him, can answer a word. Behold, these pagan prophets and priests are all emptiness, falseness, and futility. Their works are worthless. Their molten images are empty wind, confusion, and waste. Chapter 42. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice and right and reveal truth to the nations. He will not cry or shout aloud or cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the islands and coastal regions shall wait hopefully for him and expect his direction and law. Thus says God the Lord, he who created the heavens and stretched them forth, he who spread abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, he who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you, the Messiah, for a righteous purpose, and in righteousness I will take you by the hand and will keep you. I will give you for a covenant to the people, Israel, and for a light to the nations, Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who sit in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, the islands and coastal regions and the inhabitants of them, sing a song such as has never been heard in the heathen world. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of the rock, Selah or Petra, sing. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the islands and coastal regions. The Lord will go forth like a mighty man. He will rouse up his zealous indignation and vengeance like a warrior. He will cry, yes, he will shout aloud. He will do mightily against his enemies. Thus says the Lord, I have for a long time held my peace. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in travail. I will gasp and pant together. I will lay waste the mountains and the hills and dry up all their herbage. I will turn the rivers into islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness into light before them and make uneven places into a plain. These things I have determined to do for them, and I will not leave them forsaken. They shall be turned back. They shall be utterly put to shame, who trust in graven images, who say to molten images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant Israel, or deaf like my messenger whom I sent? Who is blind like the one who is at peace with me, who has been admitted to covenant relationship with me? Yes, who is blind like the Lord's servant? You have seen many things, but you do not observe or apprehend their true meaning. His eyes are open, but he hears not. It was the Lord's pleasure, for his righteousness' sake, in accordance with the steadfast and consistent purpose, to magnify instruction and revelation and glorify them. But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared in holes and hidden in houses of bondage. They have become a prey, with no one to deliver them, a spoil with no one to say, restore them. This shows the condition that will ensue as Israel's punishment for not recognizing the servant of the Lord and the day of his visit among them. Who is there among you who will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear in the time to come? Who gave up Jacob, the kingdom of Judah, for spoil, and the kingdom of Israel to be robbers? Was it not the Lord, he against whom we of Judah have sinned, and in whose ways they of Israel would not walk? Neither were they obedient to his law or his teaching. Therefore he poured out upon Israel the fierceness of his anger and the strength of battle, and set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not the lesson of repentance which the Assyrian conquest was intended to teach. It burned him, but he did not lay it to heart. Chapter 43. But now, in spite of past judgment for Israel's sins, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captive. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt to the Babylonians for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba, a province of Ethiopia, in exchange for your release, because you are precious in my sight and honored. And because I love you, I will give men in return for you, and peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, where they are dispersed, and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. Bring forth the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among the idolaters could predict this, that Cyrus would be the deliverer of Israel, and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and acknowledge. It is the truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know me, believe me, and remain steadfast to me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared the future, and have saved the nation in times of danger, and I have shown that I am God, when there was no strange and alien God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Yes, from the time of the first existence of day, and from this day forth, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder or reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, For your sake I have sent one to Babylon, and I will bring down all of them as fugitives, with all their nobles, even the Chaldeans, into the ships over which they rejoiced. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and mighty warrior. They lie down together, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, they are quenched like a lamp wick. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may set forth my praise, and they shall do it. Yet you have not called upon me, much less toiled for me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep and goats for burnt offerings, or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not required you to serve with an offering, or treated you as a slave by demanding tribute, or wearied you with offering incense. You have not bought me sweet cane with money, or satiated me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have only burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Remind me of your merits. Let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case that you may be justified, proved right. Your first father, Jacob in particular, sinned, and your teachers, the priests and the prophets, your mediators, transgressed against me. And so I will profane the chief ones of the sanctuary, and will deliver Jacob to the curse, the ban, a solemn anathema or excommunication, and will subject Israel to reproaches and reviling. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's passages, we heard some really beautiful promises here in the book of Isaiah, but I'm going to focus on one single verse, which is one of the most beautiful verses found in the entire book of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 40, verse 31. Perhaps it's a very familiar one to you, and perhaps it's one that you have recited or memorized because of its beauty and promise. It says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What a beautiful picture that the person who waits for the Lord can expect and have confidence that God will change them, change their situation, renew their strength, give them power to move forward, literally cause them to mount up with wings like eagles and fly over the circumstances of their life, that they can run and not be wearied by the pressures of life, and they can walk and not faint, even if everyone around them is fainting. What a beautiful picture. But the key part of this verse is the very first few words, those who wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord. The only problem with that verse is the human side of it, the God side of it, that God promises to cause us to run and not be weary and walk and not faint, is beautiful and powerful and encouraging. But the human side, the fact that this promise belongs to the person willing to wait for the Lord, causes us perhaps sometimes to stumble. In my opinion, in American culture, one of our greatest collective weaknesses is our inability to wait. We don't like to wait in line at the grocery store or the fast food restaurant drive-thru more than a minute or two. If we feel that someone else's inefficiency has been the cause of us being forced to wait, we feel incensed at their rude treatment of us. It could safely be said that waiting is not a discipline that we, as Americans, have cultivated as a society. Yet, waiting is a spiritual discipline that is very essential for our development as mature Christian believers, and it is the basis for which a person can claim this promise of God here in Isaiah chapter 40. Over the course of more than 20 years of pastoral ministry, my husband and I have observed many people stumble in their relationship with the Lord when they've had to endure a season of waiting for God. Some of them allowed themselves to become so frustrated in the waiting period that they took matters into their own hands, with disastrous results. Others mistakenly concluded that God didn't care about them or their situation, and they eventually sunk into a mire of hopelessness, becoming bitter at God during that waiting period. Neither of those scenarios was the intention of God when He allowed a season of waiting into your life. It's God's heart to be gracious to us, as we just heard a few days ago when we read Isaiah 30, verse 18, which ends with the words, "Blessed are all those who wait for Him." But as Americans, we've been taught an ingrained cultural value that's often repeated in the well-known adage, "God helps those who help themselves." And people often spout that particular proverb as if it was a quote straight from the pages of the Bible, which, of course, it is not. I believe that this cultural mindset has contributed to the temptation that a lot of Christians face when they're in a waiting period to try to make things happen in their own strength, when God's actually asking them to wait upon Him to intervene. In the past, myself, I have struggled with that feeling that I was either being lazy or irresponsible if I didn't do something to help change a situation that actually needed God's intervention. Even sometimes after I prayed about a matter, I battled even waiting one day to see if God would intervene. I always felt compelled to do something, but I've learned over the years that it is much harder to wait than it is to act. There's a great Bible teacher from England who was born back in the 1800s, and he preached at Westminster Chapel in London until the mid-1940s, when he retired at the age of 80. This man, whose name was G. Campbell Morgan, made one of the most profound observations that I've ever read about waiting for God. He said these words, listen carefully, especially if you struggle with that same thing I did about wanting to make things happen or feeling you were being lazy if you didn't try to do something to resolve a situation. He said these profound words, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command from God is given. Learning this vital principle will help you resist the temptation to try to bring about your own deliverance when you're facing a problem, a difficulty, or a challenge. You will no doubt remember the story in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, where we read about a family that was waiting for God to intervene in a desperate situation. This man's name was Lazarus. He was sick. He was from Bethany, a small village in Israel, where he lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha. His sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "The Lord, the one you love, is sick." And then when Jesus heard that, he said these words, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And then we all know the story. Lazarus became more ill and died, while Jesus did not make a move to come to him for several days. In fact, actually waiting until he did die. This story illustrates several important points that regard this issue of waiting for God. Mary and Martha had a need. Their brother was desperately ill, on the verge of death. They cried out to the Lord by sending word to Jesus about their brother's sickness. Then we observe the most astonishing thing. Jesus intentionally made them wait. Have you ever felt like God did that to you? He intentionally made you wait. And in fact, he stayed two more days in the town where he was preaching instead of responding immediately to their plea. That waiting period had to have been excruciating for Mary and Martha as they watched their brother's condition deteriorate and eventually result in death. Does that sound familiar? Have you been or are you in a waiting period that feels excruciating? You don't understand why God's not doing something, why he hasn't responded immediately to your prayer. And in fact, you're watching everything become worse than ever. Maybe it feels like God's making you wait a painfully long amount of time for the answer. Could there be some redemptive purpose in the waiting in your case? Well, in the case of Lazarus, the purpose of the delay in answering Mary and Martha's request was plainly stated by Jesus. He said it in his own words, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And if you go to the Gospel of John and read that 11th chapter, you will find that Lazarus died several days before Jesus actually reached the town of Bethany. And then when he arrived, he performed one of the most outstanding miracles recorded in the Gospels by raising Lazarus from the dead after he had been entombed for 4 days. There's no doubt that the Son of God was definitely glorified by this miracle, and the scripture records that many people believed in him after that event. Please note this, though. I will make this comment. God was not glorified in Lazarus being sick. He was glorified in Lazarus's resurrection. Some people have, in my opinion, erroneously taught that God sends sickness to people so that he can be glorified through it. This is certainly not the point of this gospel story, nor my opinion whatsoever. Rather, my point is that through this difficult waiting period, Jesus brought forth a miracle that was far greater than healing. It was resurrection, raising Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus became a walking testimony to the power of God and the reality of Jesus as the true Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for centuries. But undoubtedly, this waiting period was very hard on Mary and Martha, yet the results were so fantastic that they rejoiced and quickly forgot the pain of that brief season. A lot of times when we are waiting for the intervention of God, we can't imagine what good there could possibly be in having our answer delayed, especially when the situation appears to be growing worse day by day. But God always has a higher purpose in mind. Many times that purpose has to do with the work God wants to accomplish in our hearts. In other words, sometimes when we are waiting for God, he is actually waiting for us. Do you remember a few days ago when we read Isaiah chapter 30, that verse 18 said this, "Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you." We talked about that specific verse, but it clearly states in that verse that the Lord, or God himself, waits. But what's God waiting for? I sincerely believe that God is waiting for our hearts to come into alignment with his will. Often a season of waiting for God will reveal what's in our hearts that needs to change. A classic example can be found in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness just after they escaped the pursuing Egyptian army by a miraculous deliverance at the Red Sea. They walked for 3 days and found no water. Now, God was fully planning to provide fresh water for them. He had no intention of allowing them to die of thirst. He had just brought them out by miraculous hand. Yet, he allowed them to wait 3 days and then find a pool of bitter water before he acted on their behalf. Now, why would God do that? During that waiting period, something that was in their hearts that displeased God was exposed. Even though they had just seen a miracle of unprecedented proportions when God split the Red Sea for them, instead of trusting God to perform another miracle, giving them water in the desert, they started grumbling against Moses, their God-given leader. The spirits of unbelief and the spirit of complaining was quickly revealed by that waiting period, and the fact that they had an underlying disrespect for authority. All three of those things came to the surface when they were in the pressure of the waiting period. These were issues of the heart that God wanted his people to be cleansed from. Here's a question for you. Can you walk through a season of waiting for God to intervene in your situation without complaining, without stumbling in unbelief, or without criticizing people who are in authority over you who may have actually had a hand in your waiting season? That's one of the reasons God will allow us to wait, because he wants the things in our hearts exposed so that we can repent of them, have God cleanse them, and restore us to fellowship with him. It is truly what God desires for each one of us. So if you have found yourself struggling during your wait for God's intervention, simply ask him for forgiveness for any area that God brings to the surface, and then ready your heart in faith to receive his intervention. Trust God's word of promise from Isaiah 30:18 that says, "Blessed are all those who wait for him." And the promise we heard today from Isaiah 40, that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. That promise is for you. And if you'll press in to receive it, you will have a testimony, like Lazarus did, of the power and the goodness of the Lord. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.